Two readings this morning. The first is from Hebrews in chapter 10, beginning to read from verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And the second reading is from John's Gospel and chapter 14. And we'll begin to read at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Amen. I wonder, could we just turn the sound down a little bit? It's kind of echoing back a bit. Thank you. Okay, let's just pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that we can come boldly before your throne right now. We just want to meet with you, and we want to hear from you just the word that you would say into our hearts this morning. We want to grasp something of eternal value and eternal truth for our hearts today and receive just what you have. We want to be a people that are changed and transformed into the image of your Son. And so we pray that you would work that within us this morning for your honour and glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Beginning with this chapter of John, chapter 14, where he says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. There's something that's very often in our hearts as Christians, where we don't come to the place where we are wholly settled and wholly rested upon the Lord Jesus as he would desire us to be. Now, it was very much the case under the Old Covenant that the people had were brought into a place where they were striving before the Lord. And whereas God is a God of rest and He's a God of goodness, there was something in the law which naturally caused people to come into a place where they were striving, where they were not into in a place of rest. And we know that the law is holy, it's just and good. It is designed for good. Yet coming under the law, coming under that feeling of the condemnation, coming under the feeling of judgment, coming under that whole sense of the law, that brings you into a place where you are striving and where you're not at rest. And so this is why Jesus is saying, you believe in God, you believe also in me. And we remember that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but he was speaking to Jews. He was speaking to a people who were under the law, as it were. And that is how they'd been brought up. That was what they were used to. And so Jesus is trying to shift their thinking, their whole way of looking at the spiritual life from Old Covenant into New Covenant. And so when Jesus is saying, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In a sense, he's saying you're believing in God in Old Covenant terms. You have an understanding of the holiness of God. You have a fear of God. You understand something of the law and his attitude towards sin. But he's saying, in effect, I want to bring you into something else. I want to bring you really into the New Covenant. And I want to bring you into all the blessings that are contained in the New Covenant. Now, just to see how it has been, the attitude of the disciples before that. You see in the last three verses of John chapter 13, this whole Old Covenant striving attitude which is shown in Peter. And Jesus says, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So we see in Peter, there is something of this Old Covenant attitude which is a striving and a seeking that he's got to do something. And in order for things to go right, he's got to be the one doing it. And he's got to, as it were, do works in order to be honourable. So when Jesus is saying, you believe in God, believe also in me, he's wanting to bring them into a new understanding of the Lord. And it can often be the same with us as believers, that we have this sense where we are striving in our Christian lives. And we are trying to attain something or to come into a place of favor with the Lord, or to get something with God, or to see the work of God performed, and we're seeking to do it through our own strength, and we're seeking to do it by striving to get there. So Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now when Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions, he's talking about a place of rest. He's talking about a place where we can abide in the Lord Jesus. And this word mansions, we sometimes get this idea some grand house, as we understand mansions today. And this has been something that people have misunderstood over many years, and songs have been written about having a mansion fair and all these different things. But what the Lord is really speaking about is coming into a place of rest. He's speaking about coming into a place of abiding. And a mansion, it comes from a Latin, and before that a Greek word, which means to remain. Into a place where you are abiding, where you are resting in the Lord. And the other week we were looking at John 15 and the true vine. And when Jesus talks about abiding in him, He's using the same word as we find here, referring to a mansion. He's talking about a place where we can be resting in the Lord. And so in trying to bring them into this new covenant relationship, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And really what he's saying, in effect to us, is there are many places, there are many opportunities for you to rest in him. And as he is he's trying to show them this place of rest, he's saying there is a place for you as an individual to rest in Christ. And maybe we're in that position this morning, we're a place of striving, where we're not in a place of rest. And he's saying, in effect, I want to bring you into that place where you are resting in the Father. Now, when he says, believe also in me, Jesus had come to, was in this place of abiding in the Father himself. He had always been in this place of abiding in the Father. In John chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus is there abiding in the love of the Father. And then in John 17, verse 24, it says, Jesus is praying to the Father, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus had been in this place since the foundation of the world, since before the foundation of the world, in all eternity, where he was abiding in the Father. He was in that place of rest where he was continually abiding in God the Father. And so Jesus is here trying to communicate to them and saying, the place where I am, that's where I want you to be. And very often as Christians, we're not in a place of abiding. And we should be in the most blessed, in the most comforted, most peaceful position of all men. And sometimes you look at unbelievers out there and they seem more comforted, they seem more at ease than we are. And Jesus is here saying, let not your hearts be troubled. And he wants to bring us into that place of comfort in God. And in all eternity, he himself had been in that place of comfort in the Father. He had abided in the love of the Father. And he's saying, what I've had, what I've always got, that's where I want you to be. And he's trying to explain to them the point of the new covenant, that the point of the new covenant is to bring you out of this place where your heart is troubled into the place where your heart is comforted in God. And he said, I've had this in all eternity. I've abided in the love of the Father. Before the world was founded, I was abiding in the love of the Father. And he says, what I've got, I want you to have also. So he says, in my Father's house, in the kingdom of my Father, in the way that his kingdom works, in the way that his household works, there is a place of abiding. There's a place of rest for you. And this morning, if you don't feel in that place of abiding, if you feel that you are troubled, if you feel that you are agitated in your heart, where you don't feel settled in God the Father, he's saying, I've got a place for you this morning where you can feel the rest of my Father. That is how my Father's kingdom works. That is the principle upon which it is based. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And sometimes we are in a place where we are doubting this, and he's saying, I'm serious in what I'm saying. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And here Jesus is speaking about the cross, and he's saying that I want to prepare for you this place of rest, this place of comfort in which I am. And when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he's saying that he's going to do it through the cross. And he's saying that is the purpose of the cross, that I'm going to bring you from the place where you are now, from the place where you are troubled by sin, from the place where you don't have rest, into what I'm already enjoying. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And this is what we were seeing in the passage in Hebrews. And chapter 10. It says in verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And as he had been in that place in all eternity, at the right hand of God, here it says that he sat down on the right hand of God. And the sitting down is speaking about him just abiding, just being in that place of resting. And he says, by the work that he did, here it's saying, by the work that he did at the cross, that was to bring us into the blessings that he had. So if Jesus was already in that place of the blessing, but we were outside of the place of blessing. And so by going to the cross and bearing our sins and bearing our sorrows, he was bringing us from the place where we were outside of the commonwealth, outside of the goodness and provision and the rest of the Lord, into the place where we can enjoy the blessings that Jesus had, into the place where we are enjoying the rest. And as Jesus is in that place now, where he has sat down at the right hand of the Father, where he's in that place of rest, so he wants to bring us this morning also into that place of rest in the Father. And so he's saying in chapter 9 of Hebrews, and verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then in chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And in effect, it's saying that the place of the Holy of Holies, the place that he can enter into, is also the place that he wants us to enter into as well. And so he's saying, by the work of the cross, by what he did at the cross, he's able to bring us out of the place where we are troubled, out of the place where we are agitated, into the place where he is. And this is the remarkable verse. He says, where I am, there ye may be also. And sometimes we're thinking of this in terms of a physical place, where Jesus is, as it were, in heaven, that one day we're going to be in heaven also. But that's not really the sense. He's really saying, where I am in spiritual terms, there ye may be also. Where I am, the place where I abide, this place that I have in the Father, through the work of the cross, I'm going to get you into that place as well. And so often as Christians, we're not in that place. We're not in the place where we're just abiding in the Father. We're not in the place where we're just resting in God, where we're entering into the Holy of Holies. And we stand outside so much of the purposes and so much outside of the blessings that God has for us. And yet all the blessings are there. All the blessings that we have, all the blessings that we ever need are in Christ Jesus. They're not found in the works, they're not found in the striving. And as Peter was trying to get to the blessing by the striving, Jesus is saying it's not found in there. And all the blessings that God has for us,
There is a way for us now to enter into it and receive so much of the mercy and so much of the goodness of God. And sometimes when we're going through times of trouble and through times of difficulty, we don't feel that there's a way out, and we don't feel that there's an end in sight, and we don't feel that we'll never ever get into the place where God wants us to be. But he's saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. There's a place for you, even today, to come into a place of rest. A place for you today to come into a place of rest. An opportunity for you to come to where God wants you to be. And it can seem so far away, but this is the, as it were, the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, that we can step out of the place of trouble. We can step out of the place of difficulty and step into the place of blessing. But it only comes through stepping into Christ Jesus. It only comes through abiding in Him. It only comes through trusting in Him. And the thing very often that keeps us out of the place where we are coming into the place of blessing, and keeps us out of the place where we are abiding in Christ, is the trouble of our hearts. And we can be so troubled in our hearts that in a sense we see the trouble as a barrier between us and God. And our hearts are so troubled, and we see it as a brick wall, that we cannot get to God because our heart is so troubled. And God is saying, in effect, in your place of trouble, in your place of difficulty, I have an inheritance for you that I want you to come into. And it's come entirely through me. And it's not coming through your works, it's not coming through your striving, it's not coming through what you are doing, but it's coming through me. And in effect, this is what Jesus is then saying to Thomas, because Jesus says, and where I'm going you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, and that's really speaking about the cross, and how can we know the way? How can we get from where we are, where our hearts are troubled and where we're striving, how can we get from here into the place that you're talking about? How can we get into our inheritance? How can we get into a place of rest? How can we get to the place where you are? You say, where I am, I want you to be. Lord, you're in this position. How do we get to that place? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in effect, he's saying, you're missing the point because you're not seeing that you just step into it. You just come into it. It's just me. And if you just receive it, if you just see that I am the way, you can come into it today. And whatever the things that are troubling your heart, whatever the things that are a difficulty in your life, you can step out of the trouble of your heart. You can step into the peace of the Lord, simply through grasping who Jesus is, through seeing who Jesus is. It's not through doing, but it's through seeing. And if you see who Jesus is, and if you see this morning the fullness of what he did at Calvary, the fullness of what he did in bearing our sins, the fullness of what he delivered us from, of the old man, of the flesh that was under the as it were, under the rod of the law, if you see what Jesus has done for us, what he's brought us out of, and what he's brought us into, you have that deliverance, and you have that peace. Because the Lord Jesus, he was in this place because, as it were, his eyes were on the Father. His heart was resting in the Father, and he was resting continually in who the Father was and who the Father is. And he, in knowing the love of the Father and seeing the love of the Father, he was resting in the Father's love from moment to moment. And he could continually abide to that. And he didn't have the same kind of troubled heart that they did. He was troubled with the needs of others. And as he went to the cross, there was a sense of trouble there, but he didn't have the trouble that they had, because their sense of trouble was based on the fact that they hadn't seen who Jesus was. They hadn't fully seen who the Father was. And afterwards he says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus, in saying that he's saying, in effect, my rest and my place of abiding is in seeing who the Father is. Now, if you can see, Jesus is saying, if you can see who I am, you've seen who the Father is. So Jesus says, I've seen the Father, and that's where my rest comes from. Just seeing his love, seeing the fullness of his power, seeing the fullness of his character, that means that I'm in a place of abiding. That's brought me into a place of rest. Now, if you can see who I am, that will bring you into a place of rest. And again, Philip hasn't seen it yet. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And Philip, in effect, is saying, I need something more. I haven't yet come. He's really saying, I haven't yet come into the place where I'm abiding. And you're abiding through seeing the Father, and I haven't yet come into the place where I'm abiding. Show me what you see. And Jesus said, just see me. I am the full revelation of the Father. And everything you need is found in me. And we see the fullness, as it were, of the character of the Lord Jesus at the cross. One who is bearing our sins, and he's bearing our sorrows. Not just the sins. And obviously, it's so wonderful that he bore our sins. But if he hadn't borne our sorrows as well, what a state we would be in this morning. If he had not carried the difficulties and the sorrows and the hardship, if he had not carried that, where would we be? Yes, delivered from sin and looking forward to a time in the Lord's presence for eternity, delivered from sin. But if the sorrows had not gone, what sort of a testimony would we have? But he's saying, in effect, I've borne your sins and I've borne your sorrows so that your heart doesn't have to be troubled. And this morning, if we can see Jesus, if we can see who he is, if we can see what he's done for us, if we can see the fullness of the work of the cross, we can be delivered right now out of the place of agitation, out of the place of troubled hearts, out of the place of striving, right in to the kingdom of God with all its blessings. And this is the inheritance that God has for each one of us this morning, in a place where we are delivered from the trouble of our hearts. And whatever we're going through, we can come into a place of peace and rest in the Lord. We bring our concerns to him in prayer, and then it says he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. But having given him the issues, we can rest in him, rest in his character, knowing that he's working things out for our good. He's working things out for the general good. In every situation, he is working it out. And we sometimes just, I think, fail to see that God is really in control. And though we know it with our heads, we forget and fail to see that God is really in control of every situation. And the moment we admit that, and the moment we see it, and in response to that, the moment that we lift our burdens into the hands of God and leave them there, that's when we have really entered into our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Now, after this, in chapter 14, it goes on about, and it talks about being fruitful. It says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And in effect, Jesus is saying, the reason that I'm so fruitful in my Christian life, in my life, as it were, is because I'm abiding constantly in the Father. I'm in a place of rest in here. I trust the Father. I know his love. And that enables me to be fruitful. And we can say the same for us. If we're in a place where we are trusting in the Lord, we're resting in his character, we're resting in his goodness, in his love, when we go out and the unbeliever sees us and we speak to them, we will have such a testimony just because of who we are. It's not our words, but just they can see, here's someone who's at rest. They're not agitated. They have peace in their hearts. They're overflowing with love and goodness. And all because we are simply abiding in the Lord. And we are seeing his character. We're seeing that he's in control. And that causes us to be fruitful. And if we want a testimony today of just being able to pour into other people, for them to look at our lives and see that he's got something, she's got something that I don't have, we just need to come into that place of resting, of abiding in the Lord Jesus. And I wonder this morning, are we willing to give up worrying? Are we willing to give up carrying our burdens, carrying our troubles, and say, Lord Jesus, yes, you are in control. You are working things out for my good. And I don't need to be troubled about them. And if I'm not troubled about them, I will have such a testimony to people in the midst of trouble. Yes, there are troubles in my life, but I'm not troubled, we can say. And people will look on, yes, I've got these things going on. The storm of life is raging around me. And yet, in the midst of the storm of life, I have a testimony that God is good. And I'm resting in his love. I can sleep at night because I'm resting in the love of God. I don't go to bed with a troubled heart. But I put my head on the pillows, we were saying earlier, and our head is on the breast of the Lord. We're not troubled anymore. We're resting in him. And we get a good night's sleep because we've given him the cares and we've seen who he is. We've seen the character of our Lord and the one who goes ahead in the triumph ahead of us, the one who leads us in victory, the one who has already bought the victory for us. We just trust in his conquering power and we rest in him. We don't have to look for anything ourselves, but we say he has bought the victory. We are in the victory train in the triumph, and we're just seeing he's already done it, and I'm resting in him, and wherever he leads me, I will go. I wonder this morning, are we willing just to give it up to him? Lay our burdens on the Lord and say, you are good, your mercies endure forever, and where you're taking me, I'm willing to be led through difficulties, through times of trial, yet I'm willing to be led. And as you lead me, Lord, I can trust you and I can rest in you wherever you're leading me. Through the valley of the shadow of death, through the green pastures, whatever comes my way, whatever you want to lead me through, Lord, I know I can trust you. And I'm not trusting the circumstances. I'm not trusting men, I'm not trusting anything else, but I'm simply trusting you, and I know your character, Lord, and I'm not looking at the circumstances, and things may be falling about around me, and it doesn't really matter, because I'm not looking at them, I'm looking at you, Lord, and you will take me to wherever I need to go, and I can trust you through it. Hallelujah. And people looking on it will say, there is a person who knows his God. There is a person who's faithful and he follows his God wherever he's leading. And it doesn't trouble him, even when he's in the midst of the difficulty. The unbeliever that we talk to, be they young or old, they will have troubles continually in their lives, as we all do in a sense. But we need to be in a position where we say, I'm not troubled by my troubles. And where they're troubled by them, we can say, the Lord wants to bring you also into a place of rest. I wonder today, are we willing to grasp this inheritance in the Lord Jesus, what he has already provided for us at the cross? And if we're willing to grasp them for ourselves, perhaps it will mean that the unbeliever also, in their place of trouble, will be willing to grasp them for themselves. You see, in a sense, the unbeliever can't go where we're not going. And if we're not willing to take the Lord at his word, how can the unbeliever? And if he says, fear not, be anxious for nothing, don't be worried, let not your heart be troubled. I wonder this morning, are we willing to grasp that and take him at his word, and live a victorious Christian life in which people can look on and say, there is a person of God, person who knows his God, person who trusts his God, and wherever God is leading him, wherever God is taking him, he's willing to go there, and he has a testimony continually of the goodness of God and his rest in his Saviour, not based on the circumstances, but based on the character of God. Hallelujah.